RadioArchives.com presents Operator No. 5 Magazine from November-December 1937. The Bloody Frontiers. The 36th adventure of James Christopher, Operator No. 5, America's Secret Service Ace by Curtis Steele. Read by Milton Bagby. Helpless America had been hurled back into the abysmal dawn of history by those guerrilla bands of the Purple Emperor, which had been loosed in fury and hate to put civilization to fire and sword. Across the Hudson, slaying as they came, advanced the Gothic hordes, which would sack the nation's great metropolis. And only Operator 5, racing against time and fate, could hope to challenge this new grim menace, which threatened the entire world with primitive darkness. And now, James Christopher, Operator No. 5's thrilling adventure, The Bloody Frontiers. Chapter 1. Exit for an Emperor. The American encampment in Denver was dark, except for two splashes of light. One came from the many windows of American headquarters in the Denver State Building, the other from the hastily erected one-story prison where a former emperor brooded over his captivity. And the only sounds were the guarded challenges of sentries, as couriers came and went. Over the State Building once more flew the Stars and Stripes, which for long months had been supplanted by the flag of the Purple Empire, whose victorious legions had swept across America. Now the mighty armies of Emperor Rudolph I were beaten back, and that same emperor sat tonight a captive in a prison built especially for him. His quarters had been well furnished, with soft bed, writing desk, easy chair, and a shelf full of books. America could be generous in the hour of her victory, and though Rudolph had not spared our women and children in his victorious march across the country, we thus far had treated him as an honorable prisoner of war. Now, as he sat in his well-appointed prison room, a young man in a nondescript khaki uniform stood facing him. Though carelessly dressed, and showing the marks of sleeplessness and recklessly spent energy, there was yet something commanding about this young soldier that caused one to vouchsafe him a second glance. Perhaps it was the poise evident in his bearing, perhaps the smooth rippling strength that even the ill-fitting uniform could not hide, perhaps the vital energy that shone in his eyes. Whatever the reason, one knew at a glance that this man was no mere private in the American ranks, and might have guessed that his nondescript khaki uniform could well have sported a gold star, had he so desired. And this was true, for Jimmy Christopher, otherwise known as Operator 5, was the man who had contributed most to the defeat of the Purple Empire. What is more, he was the man who had captured, virtually single-handed, the emperor he now faced. He stood at ease, speaking quietly, without rancor. "Rudolph the First," he was saying, "I am authorized by the American High Command to inform you of the disposition that is to be made of your person." Rudolph remained seated, hands on knees, body obviously taut, under restraint. His thin, vindictive face expressed the hate that he felt for Operator 5. Small eyes bored into those of his captors, and his lips curled in a sneer.
"Are you going to punish me for all the American women my soldiers raped? For all the men I crucified and shot and beat to death? For the cities I burned and leveled to the ground? Are you going to drop me into a vat of boiling oil, as I did to your people whom I captured in Pittsburgh?"
The emperor's eyes were shining with malicious triumph.
"You cannot pay me back for all the things I have done to your country. You cannot do all those things to me. Had I won at the Battle of the Continental Divide, I would have put every man in America to the sword. And you, Operator 5, would have lingered in agony for days, weeks, as long as I could have kept you alive on suffering."
Jimmy Christopher's jaw tightened as Rudolph spoke. In his mind flashed those hideous pictures of maimed and tortured American citizens.